This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Nobody who has ever suffered from or lived with mental illness would call it a laughing matter. But sometimes laughing or singing about it are the best ways to understand.
My psychopharmacologist and I call it a lover's game. He knows my deepest secrets. I know his name.
Next to Normal is a Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning production that opens Friday at Boston Speakeasy Stage Company. The pop rock musical takes us inside the life of a family living with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, the good, the bad, even the hopeful. And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, wrote about it this week. And Carrie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Anthony.
So you saw a rehearsal this weekend of Next to Normal. Tell us what it's about.
Well, as you said, this play is about a family living with mental illness. In this case, it's the mother who has a sort of a wicked mixture of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and depression. And she's been struggling with it for years and years. And she sort of goes, we watch her go on this journey through her ups and downs, trying various treatments from pills to psychotherapy to ultimately electroshock therapy, and how her family copes with her ups and downs and her many problems all through this time period.
And based on that clip we just heard of the music, it sounds like it's treated with a good deal of wit, even sense of humor about it.
Yes, it's got actually incredible wit. There's also a great deal of pathos. It's an incredible mixture of the ups and the downs.
So, Carrie, let's give listeners a sense of how this play takes on these issues.
Okay, great. So we've got some dialogue here from Next to Normal, Anthony. How about you play the doctor and I'll be Diana, the woman with mental illness.
All right, so I'm Dr. Fine. Here goes. Okay. Goodman Diana, bipolar depressive with delusional episodes, 16-year history of medication, adjustment after 1 week.
I've got less anxiety, but I have headaches, blurry vision, and I can't feel my toes.
So we'll try again, and eventually we'll get it right.
Not a very exact science, is it?
Zoloft and Paxil and Buspar and Xanax. Difficult, Clonopin, Ambien, Prozac. Ativan calms me when I see the pills. These are a few of my favorite pills.
Goodman Diana, second adjustment after 3 weeks. Delusions less frequent, but depressive state worse.
I'm nauseous and I'm constipated. Completely lost my appetite and gained 6 pounds, which, you know, is just not fair.
Because the following side effects, one or more dizziness, drowsiness, sexual dysfunction.
Odd and alarming sexual feelings.
Oh, and one last thing.
Use may be fatal.
Goodman Diana, 7 weeks.
I don't feel like myself. I mean, I don't feel anything.
Patient stable. So, Carrie, what's your reaction to this material?
Well, it's the best piece of art I've ever seen that reflects this particular era of psychiatry, which is the biological era, the psychopharmacology era, the era in which we focus on the biological basis for mental illness and where the most common treatments are pills. I mean, if this show were done a generation or two ago, it would have been about Freudian psychotherapy. But instead, it's about psychopharmacology.
Fascinating. Well, Carrie, let's introduce Linda Cottrell. She's acting president of NAMI Massachusetts. That's the National Alliance of Mental Illness. She's also chair of youth policy for NAMI National in Washington, D.C. And Linda, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand this play strikes a personal chord with you, since you're the daughter of someone with bipolar disease and the mother of someone with schizophrenia.
Yeah.
What did you feel the first time you saw it?
It was overwhelming. It drives a lot of emotions, but yet it's so uplifting. It's such a good feeling that the writers chose to write about this topic in such an amazing way. I mean, it's a compelling pop rock score, and it's got something for everyone, but yet it really shows what loving someone that suffers with symptoms of a mental illness and what that person is going through.
Well, Linda, I am fascinated by this. I grew up in a family that dealt with mental illness in a big way. And what I like about the sound of this musical is that it seems to give the audience permission to laugh about it. And in my experience, sometimes that was the best thing to do. But I'm wondering, too, is there any risk that people might take offense to this treatment of such a sensitive issue?
What possibility is there to go to anything that has some compelling message in it that someone won't be offended in this day?
Sure.
But I would say that this just lifts the veil off and it addresses the entire family. Instead of like focusing on this like weird exotic illness and its symptoms and making it sort of completely dark, it puts it in its normal light, which is this is a suburban family and these illnesses strike regularly, frequently, every socioeconomic background. And, you know, there is the ability to still laugh. There's the ability to still love your family. And I like that you said, you know, that you had some symptoms of a mental illness in your family as well, because I don't know anybody who doesn't have it somewhere, whether it's, you know, sort of just chronic depression or some of the more extreme issues, the diseases of schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, or bipolar.
Sure.
My dad suffered from bipolar illness. He's no longer with us, but he had ECT back in the 60s.
Well, Linda, I want to talk about ECT. That's electroconvulsive therapy. And Carrie, in your post, you discuss a somewhat controversial scene in this where the main character receives ECT, right?
Right. The main character, Diana, goes through electroconvulsive therapy. And I think what will be particularly controversial is that she comes out in the show with huge swaths of her memory missing. Like she goes home and she doesn't recognize her 16-year-old daughter. And I think that could raise some hackles because as Linda has said, by the way, I mean, electroshock therapy is a hot potato in the mental illness community anyway. And this may be a problematic portrayal for some people because it does portray Diana as getting better, but it also portrays her as losing just a huge amount of memory.
So she gets better, but pays quite a price for it. Linda, yes. Nami, I understand, is holding a series of Ask the Doc discussions after various shows, including one discussion about electroconvulsive therapy. What are you trying to achieve with these conversations?
To show that the treatments are available and that people can get better. I think that even for myself, in the last 4 years, I had my child diagnosed with symptoms of schizophrenia, and I was told by part of the community, and this is a psychiatric community, that there was no hope, but we are sponsoring Ask the Doctor sessions from some very prominent doctors practicing in Boston that are showing that there is treatment. One of the docs that will be talking, I think it's the last session, sees recovery, like significant recovery of more than 50% of individuals with schizophrenia, and much, much higher rates for those people who have to live with symptoms of bipolar illness.
Mm. Wow. Carrie, earlier on, Linda was talking about this play as helping to lift the veil on some of these illnesses. When we think back to different theatrical or cinematic portrayals of mental illness, images of Angelina Jolie in Girl Interrupted, Sally Field in Sybil. Where does this show fall in that sort of continuum of treatment of this issue?
Well, I think what's special about this show is that it focuses on the person with mental illness, as Girl Interrupted or Sybil did, but it also focuses tremendously on the family. And I think that that's what will make it so gratifying for so many people, is that you see, you know, the husband struggling. What do you do when your wife is incredibly mentally ill and you promise to always be there for her and yet it becomes nearly intolerable? What does a daughter do when her mother's mental illness distances her and makes her the kind of mother who never shows up to your recitals and is never there for you? And yet it ends with a sort of an affirmation of love and family support. So I think that's what makes Next to Normal special, is that it really brings in the family as well as the person with mental illness.
Well, the play is Next to Normal. It opens Friday at Boston Speakeasy Stage Company. Linda Cottrell, acting president of NAMI of Massachusetts and chair of the youth policy for NAMI National in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. As always, thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
And listeners, you can find a link to Carrie's piece at RadioBoston.org.
When it's up to you to hold your house together, a house you built with patience and with care, but you're grappling with that gray and rainy weather, and you're living on a latte and a prayer. Can you keep the cup from tipping?
That's it for today. Tomorrow on the show,
a new exhibit of Egyptian art at the MFA's Museum School.
Also, Boston's new food truck industry means fine food to go across the city, but it's been a tough first winter for the owners.
That's tomorrow on our program.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.